Happy New Year and welcome to episode 11 of Disky Discussions, the first of 2021. I'm your host, AB Basson. We kick off the new year with a very special guest, someone that knows a thing or two about podcasts and blogs. The Masanda Wana fan blog is growing in popularity, and key to its success has been content creator Neil Molefe, who joins us today to talk all things Mamelodi Sundowns. Well, Neil, thanks for joining me. Masanda Wana fan blog is growing in success. For those who don't know, maybe just give us some background of how you guys started. Obviously, it's three of you that started the vlog and kept it going for the past few years now. Give us a bit of background of how it started.
AB mate, good evening. Thank you for having me here. It's an honor. Man, how that thing started, I call it that thing, but it's our baby. It's a huge project. It means so much to us, this project. It started, how it started is that around 2014-15, me and my brother, my blood brother, Toto, he's one of the guys from the fan blog, decided that, you know what, Sundowns deserves, because it would pretty much on the come up, that Sundowns deserves for us to attend all home games and try to attend like the away games that we can. And we started doing that, and we started forming relationships with other Sundowns fans, but we're not members of branches because we didn't want to become members of branches. And in us doing that, in 2017, we met a bloke by the name of Kenzani, Putkens, by his Twitter name, as people call him. We actually met him the day Sundowns came back after winning the Champions League at the airport at OR Tambo. So we met that day, and we met, it was a funny situation because somebody had just pickpocketed my phone, my brand new phone. I got it like 2 weeks. Yeah, somebody pickpocketed me, and then he was the one that was like, because Kentani was, he was more familiar with Sundowns fans than us. He was the one like helping us around, you know, like find the phone. Because there was singing, he stopped the whole thing, and he was like, guys, we have to find this guy's phone. And unfortunately, we didn't find that. And after that, Kensani and us, me and my brother, we started following each other on Twitter. And then another funny story is that the first time we actually attended a game together was a 6-0 drabbling of Pirates at Loftus. That was the first time we attended the game together with Kentani. We actually like sat together. We don't sit at the stadium with Sundowns fans. We stand the whole time, but we were together there. And then that thing happened around the 82nd minute where Pirates fans invaded the pitch. And then I started taking a video of that. And that video, I think, blew up. I think it was the first time I got over 100 retweets on my video or something like that. I think it was over 400 retweets on that video. And then after that, we thought that, you know what, maybe this can start something. Like, you know, if we can capture moments, we're not saying like controversial moments, but if we can capture any moments at the stadium and broadcast it and start a YouTube channel. And all three of us, by the way, were fans of Arsenal Fan TV. We, you know, we were huge fans of Arsenal Fan TV, especially when
being an Arsenal fan myself, I don't know. They divide opinion, I think, most of the time.
They do. But we one thing about us, okay, I'll get to it later. Let me tell you how we started. After that, like, we would discuss, like, we'd watch a lot of football YouTube content on YouTube, like, and then one day we were making a trip to Rustenburg. So because we were from the Pirates game until the end of that season, which we lost that season to Wits, we lost the league to Wits that season, until the end of the season, we started attending games together, like meeting up at the stadium, catching a couple of drinks before the game. And then, yeah, that's how that relationship started with the three of us. Because, and then we had, that season ended, and we did the same thing. So at the beginning of the next season, there were already talks at the beginning of the 17-18 season. There were already talks, guys, we need to start a YouTube channel. We need to document this thing. Like, there's nobody doing it right now in South Africa. We need to be the pioneers of that. Like, we need to get moving. So our first vlog was actually the Platinum Stars game. And funny thing is that game, we missed the goal because we were late, you know. But because, so we attended games together. So if we're going south, because me and my brother live in Centurion, if we're going south, Kentani comes here. And if we're going anywhere north, we go pick him up and then we go. So I took out my phone and I started vlogging that whole experience. And then they were both looking at me like, you started with your thing again. So, they took part in it. Like everybody took part in it because they all wanted to do the same thing. So we didn't know, if you could go look back at our first ever episode, it's so cringe. Like we didn't know what we were doing until we found the structure. That's how our channel, came about. Like we're huge fans of YouTube fan content. Like, not naming Arsenal Fan TV alone, like there's Full Time Devils, Redman TV, Liverpool, and the True Geordie, the Newcastle fan. There's a lot of fan content. And also, like, not just like fan channels, we have huge fans of Tifo Football, which is very informative. And
I love Tifo Football.
Yeah, I love Tifo Football as well. Tifo and Copper 90. Copper 90 has dope content. So, yeah, we were inspired by other content creators.
And obviously, you guys have now traveled quite a bit, traveled across South Africa. You guys were in Russia, I think, for the World Cup, met up with Peter there. But obviously, also going to Egypt twice, you told me before the show. How was that experience, and how did the Egyptians grasp what you guys were doing? Obviously, it's something, you know, completely different to the South African football landscape. I think there's been a Chiefs channel around for a bit, but the Sundowns vlog has really taken the football scene by storm.
Yeah, the Egyptians didn't really know what we were doing. And you must remember, in Egypt, the rules are very strict. So you'd whip up your phone. They were like, you take out your phone. And now you must remember, we only vlog, we only do content inside the stadium. So outside the stadium, that's where we meet other Al Ahly fans. And, but apart from that, they haven't seen us doing content except inside the stadium. And inside the stadium, we are so separated, far from each other. So they cannot see that. But the military wasn't taking it well. They were like, where's your accreditation to do what you're doing? You know, like they're so intimidating. That's why our recent trip to Egypt, there was no vlog at all because I had lost my phone again. I keep losing my phone. I tried shooting from an iPad, and then that was a big no-no. They didn't like that at all. So they actually confiscated my mic until after the game. Same thing in Russia. In Russia, we couldn't do content with a mic inside the stadium, but outside the stadium, we could do it. The World Cup is very strict with that, with the whole microphone thing. They don't allow microphones. So what we do every time we go to the stadium is that there's a sort of like lockers that you'd go that give you a number, and then you can't get your things after the game. No microphones inside the stadium. So, yeah, with the Egyptians, they didn't see what we were doing at the time.
But what would you say has been your best trip or your best vlog so far? If you look back, is there one that stands out?
I think trip and vlog are separated. I think to this day, our best vlog is an episode we did at Loftus So Thulani, former media officer of Sundowns, used to give us so much access to the players. You know, he'd give us access to players. So this one day at Loftus, we had just drew 1-1 with Chipa during Percy Dow's season, and so we're interviewing Mark Mayambela. We're interviewing Themba Zwane. Funny enough, we're interviewing Themba Zwane, and then Mark Mayambela passed by. He was like, "No, I also want this interview. What's this all about?" And we're like, "No, jump on." So, you know, and he liked because Kentani is our guy for doing interviews with players. He liked Quintana's line of questioning so much. He's like, this is so lighthearted. And then Percy got involved in that thing, and it became, because Percy was passing by and there was a lot of jokes. He told a funny story of how Percy always sends please call me and doesn't have airtime. He's like, imagine one of the season contender that doesn't have airtime. You know, like, I think that's my personal favorite vlog. But also, like, our Russia content and Egypt content have will also be nice. Also, to mention the episode where Pizzo first appeared on our vlog. Funny enough, we were in Durban. We drove down, but because I had to come back immediately, I got a very cheap flight at night, and it was the same flight as the team. So the Sundowns bus got into the airport, and then Kentan is a huge chance taker. He's like, boy, take out the mic, we're going to get an interview. And then I was reluctant. I was like, no way, let's not bother them. He's like, boy, take out that mic. And then the players got out, and then Thulani got out. He's like, yo, take out that mic. Because he heard Thulani overheard me and Kentani speak. He's like, no, you have to take out that mic. And then that's when we got our first interview with Coach Pizzo on the vlog. That's also one of my favorite episodes. Yeah.
You made mention of Percy Tau there. Obviously, he made his Premier League debut this week for Brighton, wearing yellow and blue, like you've got on right now.
Yes.
How big a moment was that for you personally, having watched him, you know, obviously coming through the Sundowns Youth Academy, and how proud are you as a fan to see him on the biggest stage?
You know, Percy Tau is, for us as Sundowns fans, it's a bit personal, you know. Although we've been indifferent about his move to Brighton at first, because we kind of knew that he was never going to get a work permit until drastic measures. And drastic measures now was Brexit. So at first it was like, but why is Percy doing this? Doesn't the agent know? But we've seen him grow so much, and that move at first, it had angered us a bit. Like a lot of Sundowns fans on Twitter weren't happy about the move because of the visa situation. But now that it's sorted out, he's done well. Like, especially his thing at Club Brugge. I have no idea why Club Brugge didn't call him again and let him go to Anderlecht. I think he's done pretty well for himself. We followed him for the past 2.5 seasons when he was doing his loan spells in Belgium. In the first division, we weren't watching as much, but we were following how he's doing, how many goals he scored. I think he scored more than 10 goals in that season, that first season, and he was player of the season that season. So he won back-to-back player of the seasons, actually. And he actually won 3 big titles in a row. He won with Sundowns, with the other first division side in Belgium, and with Club Brugge 3 seasons in a row. So, yeah, it's a bit personal when it comes to Percy with us. We saw him grow from this 19-year-old that made his debut, I think, against Golden Arrows in the Nedbank Cup round of 32 a couple of seasons ago. And then to seeing him win the Champions League, you know, scoring in the, well, assisting an own goal in the Champions League final, if you can call it that. And then to images of him being so emotional after we won it, you know. And then the next season after that, he becomes player of the season. And one thing about one of our current co-coaches is that he's always believed in the boy, and he told the football world to watch out for this boy. That he's pretty special. But last night we were proud. I think a lot of Sundowns fans were proud. I think the whole South African football fraternity in the whole, we were proud of him. We haven't had, I mean, there's no league that's watched like the Premier League in South Africa, and we haven't had a player there in a very long time. So to have him there, and it's really started from the bottom. We saw him play through our, you know, players like Benny played one season here and then left. But he really made it through. He paid his school fees.
I think Percy Tau was the first South African to play in the Premier League since Steven Pienaar in April 2017. So yeah, over 1,300 days, which is just, you know, insane for a country that loves its football as much as we do. And we'd forget Percy looking at his medal, his winner's medal there in the Champions League final.
Those images will forever live in our minds.
The co-coach you made mention of, if I've got it correctly, is Rulani Mokoena. Obviously, yes. Another guy that you guys are quite familiar with and, you know, talk a lot to. You know, how happy have you been with his personal progress? Obviously, at this time at Pirates. As Sundowns fans, I think some were divided when he came back to the club. How did you feel when he came back to Klerkop?
You know what? This answer is going to be a bit long because I remember, but I've always loved Coach Rulani. I used to follow him on Instagram, and it was different back in 2016-17 for coaches to have Instagram. Not a lot of coaches had Instagram and Twitter, and I used to follow him back then. And you could see that this chap talks football different. He talks football the way I like it, you know. And I remember when he left to go to Pirates, we were so hurt. All of us were so hurt. And then a lot of things happened. There was the gate situation that Loftus. Words were exchanged on Twitter, and things were never the same. Like, you know, we started, like, personally, me and two of us had animosity towards him. And then there was the one guy that didn't, like, he kept his relationship going. And I remember we were so divided. But one thing about us is that we never let our differences, like, get in between of our product or our personal relationship. Like, we agreed to disagree the whole time. So it was like that with Coach Rulani. Like, one of us was super close with him, and then two of us were like, no, like, that gate situation was, like, just too much at Loftus. He agreed to take part of that. And, you know, we were so angry. Like, I remember I was personally so angry. I was like, but, you know, but how could he do this? And you know, there were a lot of banter situations from Twitter, I think, that he had taken personally, you know, that's, which is, for me, the down part of players and coaches using Twitter a lot, because they take banter personally. And yeah, he had taken some banter things, like that run your own race thing, you know. I think he even mentioned it in his press conference once, that people thought I'd run my own race at a small club. Now I'm running my race at a big institution. I was like, no, but that was Benta, coach. Yeah, but the relationship was with two of us. Let me not involve everyone. With two of us was very damaged. And then, but towards, I'll tell you something. We found out that there's a possibility that Coach Rulani will come back to Sundowns in December 2019, after we won the Telkom knockout. And, you know, the two people that were fighting with him were like, is it really going to happen? I don't know. We don't know. Did we want him to come back at the time in December 2019? No, probably not, because of how, you know, how things had went about. But time go, as 3 months down the line, we started to accept that, hey, maybe this is, and situations like this happens in football, you know. I'll give you another example that with loyalty and people moving clubs, you know. I remember in 2008-09, you couldn't tell me anything about Cristiano. He was the best player in the world. He left my other football club from Europe, Manchester United, and now I consider Messi the greatest player of all time. You know, so it's a loyalty thing, like, for me. So yeah, it's kind of also like a loyalty thing. Yes, you understand in hindsight that, yeah, Pirates is his family club, and he needed to go do that, and you kind of appreciate that. Okay, he did that. He even had a stint of like 5-6 months where he was head coach at 32 years old, which was huge when you look at it now. But yeah, when he came back, we kind of had an idea. But I remember another brother who does, during lockdown, another brother who does fan content as well, Pro Pilani. He does content for the fans. Another Sundowns fan who does content for the fans. He had Coach Rulani on his first ever episode, his live chat. And we were all there, you know, asking questions like, and Coach Rulana is like, no, all the Sundowns fans that were insulting me, I've forgiven them. Because at the time, we were 100% sure that he's coming back. We already knew. I think this was around June, July. We were 100% sure that it's confirmed that he's coming. So we went to that live knowing and asking questions and probing, like, you know, and then he said, I understand why some Sundowns fans were insulting me after that whole Gates situation at Loftus. He's like, hurt people. And that summed it up for us, you know. So, and Coach Rani has this thing. Coach Rani can win you with words, just like Coach Pizzo. You can tell he's a student, you know. He can win you with words. But, yeah, people don't want him back because I think a lot of Sundowns fans, a lot of football Twitter fans didn't want him back because of they thought there was a lot of attention on him and Micho, you know, who's the boss, and they thought he was gonna do that with Coach Pizzo. We knew that wasn't gonna happen, and yeah, but we were ecstatic. Some people were not happy, but we were ecstatic that he came back. Hence the video that we did for him when he came back. Mm. Yeah, but we were happy when he came back.
You talk about who's the boss. Obviously, Sundowns now have a co-coaching situation, and Steve Compella completed that trifecta. What do you make of the three coaches working together? So far, so good this season. Top of the log, haven't lost a game, 2 points clear. Do you think it's going well, considering, you know, what you left there?
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that, baby.
No problem. You can just answer the question. We'll just take that piece out.
Okay, now I can't go back into Zoom.
I can see you.
Can you?
Yeah, and I can hear you fine.
Okay. Okay, yeah, perfect. So you please repeat the question again.
Okay, I'll count to five and I'll just repeat the question.
Okay.
You're talking about, wait, jeez. There we go. Okay. You're talking about who's the boss. And obviously now Sundowns have a whole co-coaching situation at the club. And Steve Compella has also been roped in to complete the trifecta. What have you made of how it's gone so far? So far, so good. Unbeaten in the league this season. Top of the league, 2 points clear. Considering, you know, Pitsa Mosimane left. He left a, you know, massive hole at the institution that is Sundowns. But do you think it's going well so far? And do you think they will, you know, achieve a lot of success in the seasons that are to come?
Coach Pizzo left a big hole, yes, but he left a blueprint. He left a blueprint to success, and he left a way better squad than he's ever had. So I think they have it not easier, but they have it better than he did when he stepped into the Sundowns coaching position. Speaking about the co-coaching thing, I think I kind of expected the situation that our president Patrice Motsepe was gonna appoint them as co-coaches instead of, as many people would have preferred Mangoba to be the main man and Rulani to be Mangoba's 2IC. I kind of knew, because Patrice has this thing. He also did it. It's not the first time we have co-coaches, by the way. It's not the first time we have co-coaches with Tovi and Gamondi. Oh, yeah, it was a Tovi and Gamondi in 2006-07.
Won the league as well.
Yeah, yes. So I knew. I didn't care much, you know. As long as I didn't care much about their roles and their title, you know. And I remember we did an episode on the vlog where one of our guys said, guys, as long as Sundowns keep winning matches, these titles don't matter, you know. you won't see jokes about three wise men, and you know, it won't matter at the end of the day. We've always had three coaches. We always had Coach Rulani, Coach Pito, and Coach Mangoba working. It's just that titles now are different. Now people want to make it a big issue. I think we also had, at one point, we also had Coach Pito, Coach Mangoba, and Alex Mapela there. The three coaches thing has been always there, but I don't know why titles are important to some fans. I don't know. But, yeah, they're speaking about how they've done this season. I think they've done pretty well, averaging 2.4 points a game after 10 games. I think this is the highest since the Niskin season. Not even. I think the Niskin season, we didn't achieve 24 points. I think they said... Or was it since the Niskin season? Yeah, since the Niskin season. Even the CBD, the formidable CBD team, didn't start this week, which is very promising. They're playing a different system. They're playing a system that Coach Pito liked his 4-4-2, and you couldn't tell him anything about it. I mean, he won 5 league titles with a 4-4-2, so you couldn't tell him everything about it. But we always used to say, when we were talking outside of the blog as friends, that... Guys, the best teams in the world play a 4-3-3. Why doesn't Sundowns try that, you know? And the coaches are doing it now. They've also, because they have proper strikers, they have options. They've also taken back Mabuya to his natural position, has been doing well there. Yeah, we started well, and another thing, there's a game that made me so, so happy, which was the Pirates game. You know why the Pirates game made me happy, AB, is that Coach Pito had a knack to play to win a game, not to please anybody. And it made me happy to see that these coaches are also, the principles are still there. There's some games you're going to play to win the game and leave the beautiful football for the next game. Hmm.
You don't have to beat Chiefs to win the league. That was one of my favorite quotes from Pizza Always.
What a legend. So many goals.
Yeah, I mean, geez, we can make a thread. Sundowns play SuperSport United this weekend, first versus second. SuperSport are actually on a crazy run of form, considering, you know, the goal-scoring exploits of Grobler and Gabuza. I can't remember if Gabuza has ever scored this many games in succession. Grobler has just become SuperSport's all-time leading goal scorer. How does Sundowns stop those two? Obviously, they've had the upper hand mostly over SuperSport in recent times, but SuperSport seems to bring the best out of Sundowns, and we could see a high-scoring game on Saturday.
Yeah, SuperSport always seems... You know, before, I think, 2 seasons ago, would go into 20 derbies thinking that, these guys, we're going to win. I think we had won like 5 on the bounce until they beat us at Loftus when we were chasing the league to Pirates. I think we would come back from Egypt the Sunday and then play them the Wednesday, and they put a halt in our track, you know. Yeah, they've been doing well. They've been doing well. They're only 2 points behind us. Also doing pretty well for themselves. Bradley Grobler has been amazing. He's been amazing. I was reading an article on Breaking the Lines about him. He's doing pretty amazing. But I think Sundowns I think it should be a question of how they stop us rather than how we stop them, you know. But I think it will be a tightly contested game. As they have been in the past, like even when we beat them 2-0 at the beginning of last season, I mean, we only scored the second goal in the 90th minute, I think. I think this derby doesn't get the attention that it needs. I think it brings out the best out of both teams. SuperSport are doing well, and considering this thin squad, they have a really thin squad. But I cannot see us losing this on Sunday. I don't know why. I don't see us losing on Sunday. Maybe I have so much faith in our defense. I think Dennis Onyango has kept 7 clean sheets in the past in 9 games this season. He's kept seven clean sheets in 9 games. He's doing pretty well. Brian Onyango, surprisingly, has been doing pretty well for the past like 4 or 5 games. When he was signed, a lot of people were questioning that signing. And Sundowns fans have, as I think, let me not say Sundowns fans, football fans have a knack of questioning the technical team on signing certain players. But I remember in 2012, after Santos got relegated, and we were questioning the signing of Arendse. Arendse is a Sundowns legend now. So some of these things work like this. So I'm confident in our defense. I'm confident Brandon Onyango has been doing well. Nasimeda has been having it a bit tough, but I think he's, after the Baroka game, he played very well against Baroka. I think another one of our best players this season, also part of that defense, is Lila Kay. He's been doing pretty well for himself. So I'm very confident in our team. But I'm sure they also pretty confident in their team. That midfield of Teboho Mokoena and Sipombule. I mean, a whole lot of ballers in that Super Sport team. But yeah, it's going to be a tightly contested match. I say this again, but I think Sundowns will have the upper hand.
We can't not talk about Serena when it comes to a match against SuperSport, considering what happened at Lucas Moripe Stadium, when was it now, 2 seasons back, and that drama that unfolded for months. He's back in the mix after a failed move to Al Ahly to join Pizzo in Cairo. How happy are you to see him back in a Sundown shirt? Serena is just a magician when he's on his best.
Extremely, extremely happy. Gaston is an amazing player. If you have Temba Zwane and Gaston Serino on the pitch, that should be cheat code. I think that should be legal. So yeah, pretty happy. And actually we were having a debate about this on the vlog the other day, saying if you have Shalulile is fit, Romeo is fit, Gaston is fit, and Temba Zwane is fit.
That's going to be my next question. I was going to ask you, would you start all four?
Do you change the shape that has worked for you in the past 13 games? I don't think so.
So who would you bench then?
Oh, Sundowns fans are going to kill me for this one. But I think Gaston will have to sit this one out for me. You play a system that has worked for you, but the players that I don't know about Romeo's fitness, because he missed the previous game. So if Romeo's not fit, yeah, start Mshishi and Gaston. But you know, our formation is pretty weird, because sometimes it switches. It's like Temba Zwane plays behind the two strikers, lingering in that position. But sometimes he's like the furthest player forward. So
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I think I'd start with the two strikers and Temba Zwane behind them, and not change anything from the midfield going that way. I think, Sundowns fans will kill me for this one. I think I'll put in Gaston in the 60th minute, like he came on against Baroka.
It's a nice headache to have. Elneil, I appreciate your insight and for joining me on the podcast. For those who don't follow you guys on Twitter, on YouTube, just give us your handles, and so that we can do just that. And where can we subscribe?
On YouTube, let's start there. It's Masana Wana Fan Vlog on YouTube, and then on Twitter is @MFFCFanVlog. And then on Instagram as well, it's just Masanda Wana Fan Vlog. Please subscribe, guys. We are just over 5K subscribers. We're trying to get to 10K before the end of the year. So yeah, let's subscribe. Subscribe to our channel for those announced content. And then, yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for joining me. Yeah, stay safe. Thank you for listening to Disky Discussions. If you have any questions or guests you'd like me to have on the show, please hit me up at @AB_Basson on Twitter or Instagram. Stay safe. Like, subscribe. Away.